Would you hear these words from 1 Chronicles 16? Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we join the invitation of the psalmist in coming to this place to praise your holy name. And to tell you of how worthy you are of all that we have to give. You are most worthy of our love. You're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our gifts, of our offerings. You're worthy of our very lives. And so, God, this morning, the best we know how, we've come to this place to give you our lives. And the best we know to do that is by opening our lives up to receive from you your grace and your guidance in this place. And so as we sing songs, we join brothers and sisters around the globe in shouting out how great is your name and how grand is your love. And as we do so, would you fill our own hearts with the assurance that you're with us and that you're for us. And would you send us from this place just a little while from now to be a people who continue to sing out the name of Jesus for all to hear. We ask this in your most precious holy name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything. Followed him. Would you pray with me? And holy God, now we turn to your word. And sometimes, like Peter, we feel that we are unworthy to receive a gift from you. But this morning, we name that as one of many lies from the enemy that would keep us from you. And so we open our full hearts and our full ears to receive whatever it is that you in your grace have for us. We believe, oh God, that you're a God who wants to be in our boat. You're a God who wants to be with us. And so in these moments of leaning into your story, we're also trying our best to be with you. And in this being together, would you do something of life in us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The question this morning, what's possible, probable, promised even, if Jesus is in your boat? That's the question. Up in your mind. He's just finished a successful preaching tour around Galilee. Besides that one downer day in Nazareth when his family tried to kill him, besides that day, things have been going good. Jesus had been going around healing people, teaching the good news. And now we find him on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. And there's some fishermen just right in the background, off the screen, and they're cleaning their nets. We'll soon find out that they didn't catch anything that night. So what they're cleaning out of their nets is anything but fish. Garbage, seaweed, muck, disappointment. The crowd is pressing in against Jesus, wanting some more of this healing, wanting some more of this good news. The fishermen, still off screen, they're much consumed by their long night to really give any attention to this rabbi over here. And that is until Jesus steps into Peter's boat. Who does that? And he asks him to push off so that he can speak to the crowds with a little bit of space. He's going to make Peter's boat into his very own pulpit. What happens when Jesus is in our boat? Lots of things we're going to see today. For one, when Jesus is in our boat, he goes to work with us. Is this good news or bad news? Jesus is preaching all over Galilee, and anywhere that he starts talking, if you notice, church starts breaking out. And on that day, Jesus steps into Peter's office, that is his boat, and he just lets church happen right there. When Jesus is in our boat, he goes to work with us. And home, and everywhere in between. I don't know about you, but I think that sometimes we kind of prefer the Jesus that just stays at church. We know where to find him when we need him. And we can prepare ourselves, and we can come on our best behavior ready for him. Most of us, right? We're at church, we cuss a little less. Most of us, not Peggy, but everyone else, a little less. And when we're at church, we drink a little less, and we gossip a little less, and we shoot the bird a little less. Because we have this sense that Jesus is here, and something about this place is holy, and we're going to respect it as such. But what if you got in your car today, and you get ready to back out, and you look in your rearview mirror, and there's Jesus sitting in your back seat? You're like, what are you doing here? Don't they need you in there? Jesus, in your back seat, is that good news or is that bad news? Jesus, don't you have somewhere else to be? No, I'm going with you. You get home, and you turn on the TV, and there's Jesus on the couch right next to you. Do you want to watch the game with Jesus? Is that any fun? Why? Why not? Monday morning, you head out for work. You get to the door and there's Jesus dressed for work too. You're coming, aren't you, Jesus? Yeah? Is that good news? Or is that bad news? What's work going to look like if Jesus is hanging out there too? If Jesus is in the boat, he goes to work with us. He shows up to all of life with us. And I think sometimes we'd rather leave Jesus preaching on the shore, and we'll go off and we'll do our thing, and then we'll come and check back in on him and see what he's saying when we're ready. But Jesus wants to be in the boat with us. Jesus wants to make our lives his pulpit. Wherever our lives take us this week, the question, will we let him come in? Will we let him be in our boats? What happens when Jesus is in the boat? Jesus turns a long, disappointing night into a brand new day. When he first talks to Peter, you have to know that Peter was absolutely worn out. He had had a long night of fighting the waves, of throwing out the net and pulling it in over and over again. And every single time, there was nothing, again and again. And you have to know that there were times that night that Peter wondered if this whole life thing was really working, if he was doing it right. You have to know that he wondered at some point what else he might be qualified to do. Afraid that he was stuck with this frustrating career forever. You have to know that there were times that night that Peter felt like an utter failure. He'd walk into his home in just a few hours, and there would be his wife and his children, and they were hopeful for breakfast. And he had nothing to show. Failure as a fisherman, failure as a provider. Feeling as if his whole life would be this life of just barely making it. Always tired. Always another series of disappointments. Ever had a night like that? And when you can't sleep, and you find yourself asking, is this really as good as it gets? Am I doing this life thing right? Have you ever had one of those nights when you finally admit that whatever this is, it isn't working, but you have no idea what else could even be? And one of those nights when your body aches and your spirit right there along with it? And it could be a literal night, or this could be a long series of nights. It could be a whole season. What happens when Jesus gets in your boat? After a night like that, what happens? Morning comes. Morning comes. But we have to let him into our boats. And sometimes while the night is still heavy upon us, we have to let him into our boats. As I was reflecting on this truth, I began to think through my life and the seasons in my life when I have been just overcome with great disappointment. The seasons when my heart has been so heavy, when I've been so afraid. The seasons when I wasn't sure if I was giving my life to the right things and asking Jesus all the questions. Is it all a waste? Will I always be hurt? And I can tell you that in all of these seasons, from when I was about 20 on, I saw this common theme. And by the time I was 20, I knew how much I loved Jesus. And by his grace, how much he loved me. And I found that every time in these seasons, there was one thing I held on to, and that's that I would be on my knees in my apartment, in my house. And I would say, Jesus, I'm hurting, and I'm lost, and I'm confused, and I've been betrayed, but I'm not walking away from you. I don't know what you're doing or why you're doing it, but I'm just going to hold on right here. I still love you, Jesus. And my heart is still open, knowing that you're with me. And I can tell you that all these times of struggle, just keeping Jesus in the boat, morning always comes. When Jesus is in the boat, morning always comes. Any of my friends in a dark night right now? Any of my friends in a season of disappointment? A time of great despair. Hear this. Jesus is ready to step into your boat. Just let him in. You're like, it can't be that easy. It is. If we dare to let him in, He might just turn the darkest, longest nights into brand new days. And I believe with all my heart that someone is here today simply to hear this. Just invite Jesus to step back in your boat this morning. For someone, that's the only reason God got you here. So you could hear that he wants in your boat. Morning is coming. What happens when Jesus is in our boat? He becomes the expert on how things might work. You see, Jesus is a rabbi. He's not a fisherman. And he looks over to Peter, the career fisherman, the one who's been in a boat like this since he was a little bitty boy, the one who has accrued thousands of hours on these seas, the one who knew what he was doing, who made a living by it, who found his identity in it. And this rabbi, this religious guy, says, hey, you tried that spot over there? And you know exactly what Peter had to have been thinking, right? Stay in your lane, Jesus. You preach the sermons, I'll do the fishing. You be religious, and I'll actually run the business around here. Don't you come into my boat like you're the expert in my trade. We've been fishing all night, Jesus. Don't you think we've already tried that? We know what we're doing. You see, sometimes it's really hard to let other people be the expert over our lives. We don't much like anyone telling us what to do with our work or our families or our lifestyles. We think that we are our own little world's perfect expert, that we know how things work for us. We are the experts. And you know, we do it with Jesus too. All of us do. Me too. I pray to Jesus these grandiose prayers about alleviating world hunger. And then I see that my own paycheck is a little skimpy this month and my own pantry's a little small. And I've got to figure that one out on my own. How will I feed myself? Jesus, who can feed the world? I'm not really hungry. Don't worry about me. But he can do these big things. But when it comes to my little things, I should probably figure that out. I believe that Jesus can heal the broken relationship that has gone on for thousands of years between the Palestinians and the Jews. I really believe he can. Do you believe he can? Cool. I believe he can too. But our very own broken marriages and broken friendships, don't be an expert, Jesus. I'll have to figure this one out on my own. I truly believe that Jesus can free prisoners. I read about a Chinese pastor who literally walked out of his prison cell by a dozen guards in plain sight, walking next to an angel that he saw as if he was invisible until he was out of the prison and onto the streets and free again. I believe that Jesus did that. I believe he can do that. But my very own prisons of addiction, depression, insecurity, shame. Don't be the expert, Jesus. Don't be the expert. I'll have to get myself out of that funk. If Jesus steps into our boat, he gets to be the expert. Hey, Peter, fisherman, how about you try fishing over there? We've been there. Done that, Jesus. We're the experts around here. But here's the kicker. Here's where everything changed. Peter says, nevertheless, Jesus, we will try it. Jesus, you might have no idea what you're talking about. And Jesus, what you're saying might never work for my situation. But nevertheless, Jesus, if you say it, I'll do it. If Jesus is in our boat, our lips will say over and over again, nevertheless, Jesus. I don't understand. Nevertheless, I'll try it because you've said it. I'm skeptical, Jesus. Nevertheless, I'm throwing my net over because you haven't failed me yet. You see, when Jesus is in our boat, he gets to be the expert. And we just get to keep saying over and over and over again, I don't get it. Nevertheless, I'll trust you. I'll give it a try. What do I have to lose? Then what? He's in your boat. And you've said, nevertheless, he pulled up so many fish that he can't even bring them in. Other fishermen rush over to help, two boats full of them hauling in this abundant catch, so abundant that their boats start to sink. There's that many fish. When Jesus is in the boat, when he's calling the shots to a people who just keep saying, nevertheless, miracles are only ever a second away. Do you believe in miracles? If he's in your boat, you've got to, because you live in them every single day. If he's in your boat, God's abundant generosity is right there, ready to be revealed and received. You see, Jesus doesn't give them just enough fish to put breakfast on the table that morning. Jesus gives them enough to show them that he is going to provide for them every single day from this day forward. Miracles are possible when Jesus is in the boat. Just throw the net over there. When he says, drop it, drop it. And miracles are possible. 2020 was a hard year for everyone and for churches everywhere. And I look back on that year, and it was a year of so much uncertainty and so much fear. A year when we weren't sure, will people continue to come? Will people continue to give? Will people continue to be on mission? What are we supposed to do? Do we just need to kind of tighten up and close in and take care of ourselves and limp through until there's better days? And I can tell you, one of the things I'm proudest about our amazing little church family is that right when the pandemic hit, there was immediately this sense among us of opportunity. We weren't going to sit back. We weren't going to become invisible. We weren't going to protect ourselves. But way back in March and in April, we were already praying these prayers of Jesus. How can we be your light? How can we share your life and your love in this very season, in this very place? And I can tell you, those last months when so many things were unsure, we continued to go out into our community and try in every possible way to say, your God is still here and he still loves you and he's still for you. We had 20 kids in this building for like 4 months doing their education, being a mentor, learning about Jesus every day. Did it mean we had extra germs around? Yeah, we had to clean some more, but we weren't going to close down. There was work to do. We worshiped every single Sunday of the pandemic in 1,000 different ways and places, but we never stopped worshiping. And out of that, we served and we served and we served. We fed so many people in the last 9 months, from first responders to this amazing harvest dinner to restaurant gifts at Christmas time. We gave out gift cards to people that we love at Christmas. We just kept giving, saying even though we aren't sure if we're going to have enough, we're going to stay on mission. We're going to keep throwing out the net, throw out the net, throw out the net. And as we looked at the end of the year, would you know that we had more in our checking account at the end of the year than we've had since I've been here. And we've talked back and forth. I don't even know how, you guys. I don't know how. Because there's been weeks, months that our giving has not been great, and I felt anxious and afraid and wanted to turn back in. And Jesus keeps saying, throw out the net. And somehow, we're just fine because miracles happen every day when Jesus is in the boat. And we just keep throwing out the net. Our generous God finally has a chance to show us just how good he is when we don't turn inward and just keep throwing out the net. When Jesus is in the boat, God's grace is poured upon us. Peter is so overwhelmed by this catch, and less because of the income, more because seeing what's just happened, he is instantly aware that he is in the presence of the living God. What do you do when you know you're in the presence of the living God? For Peter, he falls to his knees and he says, "Go away, Jesus. Go away." He says, "I am not worthy of being in the presence of such goodness, of such love, of such generosity, of such grace." In this holy presence, all Peter could think about were all the different ways that he had fallen short. Hundreds of fish before him. And all Peter could think of was how unworthy he was of this gift. Ever feel that way? "Go away, Jesus. I can't receive this. I've done too much. Just go away." It's hard to go away when you're out at sea. And so Jesus doesn't go away. It turns out when he stepped into Peter's boat, he knew everything about that man. There were no surprises. When Jesus stepped into Peter's boat, he already knew all the failures and all the sins and all the times that Peter had hated and lied and cheated. Jesus stepped into his boat knowing that he was going to shower him with God's grace and that Peter's past never made him think twice about that. Jesus knew when he stepped into his boat that he was coming in with more than a gift of fish. Jesus was coming in with the gift of God's grace. We can't be free to step into the good future that God has for us until we learn to receive God's grace. We can't. What's the worst thing you've ever done? Don't answer it out loud. It's not confession time to me. What's the worst thing you've ever done? What's the thing that you are most ashamed of? The thing you would take back if you could. And how many times has the enemy used that thing to tell you that you are not qualified for God's greatest blessings and for God's deepest love? I guarantee you he's done it to you. He's done it to me. He's done it to you. How many times has the enemy told you that that thing means that you can't serve God in the places that your heart most longs to serve him because you're no longer qualified? I used to have in my office, it seems like at least once a month, this man who would come in. And he would stand there and he would talk to me about his love for Jesus and his desire to serve Jesus in all kinds of ministries. But then he would always hang his head and he would start telling me about this time in his life when he made some really destructive decisions. And he would talk about this time of great darkness when he said he turned his back on God and on his family. And he would say this dark season of his life, it held him hostage. And he was convinced because of it that God just simply couldn't and wouldn't trust him with anything of significance again. That he would probably just go and mess that up too. And I would stand there month after month and I would tell this man and again, that is not the voice of your Father God. It's not. Because when Jesus is in the boat wanting to shower us with God's love and God's goodness, we're the ones who are saying, "I'm not worthy. Go away, Jesus." He's not saying it. We're the ones saying it. "Jesus, you don't know what kind of mess you're dealing with." Jesus is the one saying, "I stepped into your boat knowing exactly who it belonged to. I stepped into your boat to bless you because I love you and there is grace enough for you. Just receive it." If Jesus is in your boat, there's grace enough for you, my friend, for that worst thing, and for all the other things with it. There is grace enough. Receive it. Free to live in the power of it. If Jesus is in your boat, there is grace enough. Do I need to say it again? There is grace enough. Just receive it. "Don't be afraid, Peter," Jesus says, from now on, you're going to be working with me, catching people. Finally, if Jesus is in your boat, your purpose is going to be revealed. How many of my friends are asking questions of purpose these days? As a pastor, it's probably the question I get the very most. Folks coming to me and saying, I just want to know what Jesus wants me to do. Here's the thing. The purpose that Jesus gives Peter on this day is super vague. From now on, you'll be catching people. What does that even mean? If you're Peter and you haven't sat in Sunday school and had someone tell you, what does that even mean? And Jesus doesn't pull him aside and tell him what he means. He doesn't say, okay, Peter, here's the explanation. You're going to come with me, and I'm going to teach you how to heal, and then we're going to practice exorcising demons, and once you get really good at that, I'm going to teach you how to preach really good sermons. And then, Peter, you're going to get firsthand experience on feeding a lot of hungry people. And then when you really, really qualify, I'll teach you how to survive prison. No, he doesn't say any of that. Jesus just says, receive my grace and step into your new purpose, catching people. No questions asked. Peter drops everything and follows Jesus. Doesn't sit back, well, I'm just waiting for more about my purpose. He drops everything and follows Jesus one step at a time, sticking close to Jesus one day. Time. What this purpose means is going to come to life more and more. But even before he could possibly understand it, Peter dropped everything and walked with Jesus. So often folks who are waiting to get their purpose, waiting, what does that even look like? Waiting to get their purpose. They sit back and they twiddle their thumbs because Jesus hasn't told me my purpose yet. Here's what Peter knew. On the day that he knew enough to drop everything, he knew there was grace enough for him. And he knew that Jesus had come into his boat. And those two things changed everything. His purpose, this catching people stuff, would have something to do with dishing out this same grace. And letting folks know that Jesus wants to be in their boats too. That's it. He learned more along the way, but that's all he needed to get started living this life on purpose. And that's all we need too. Let him know there's grace enough. Let him know. The same Jesus who came to hang out in our boat is ready to hang out in their boat too. That's all we need to get living on purpose. It's time to live with purpose. Start with these two things, and you'll be catching people with Jesus before you know it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, not many of us have boats. But we've got our hearts. And today, they're open to you. And we know this is a really, really risky thing to ask. Because when you stepped into Peter's boat, everything changed. His identity, his future, everything changed. We know that. And even still, we have seen again today how good and generous and full of grace you are. And so with our hearts open, we dare to invite you, O Jesus, to come on in. Come on in. Live with us. Make our lives your pulpit. Come to work with us, Jesus. Help us receive your grace so we can pour it out. Open our eyes to the miracles all around us so we might celebrate appropriately. Send us out to catch people with your good news, walking step by step with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.